If you are satisfied with your message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Oh.
Are you still there?
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. And you can catch our show every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show is all about informative entertainment, and we try to do that for you in a fun, upbeat, improv style. So we provide you with tips, advice, resource information, everything that you need to pursue a career in show business. We have guests that work in various professions in the entertainment industry. So that means that we are definitely going to have someone from a career that you are interested in. If you want to know more about the person on the show or want to know who's going to be on upcoming shows, please visit our website directly, and that's questionreality.us, not .com, questionreality.us. Now, if you want to check out any of our past guests, read their bios, listen, download any of the shows, you can do that by going to the LA Talk Radio website. If you're listening to us now, you're already on it, and you just have to click Schedule 1, the Schedule 1 link, which is at the top of the LA Talk Radio website. So you just look for our show, which is Question Reality, and in the time slot, it's Sunday at 5, and you just click on the link. And that'll take you right to our archive page, and then you can play any of the shows directly. They don't have like that long download time. If you hit play, it just starts playing right away. If you hit download, it's going to take whatever it takes, whatever speed you have on your computer to download it. But it's really, really quick. It's an awesome download application. And we are also on podcasts, the podcast section of iTunes. So we are everywhere. We try to be everywhere. So we would love for you to call in and ask questions from our guest. Today, our guest is Corey Blake. He is the CEO and founder of Roundtable Companies and Writers of the Roundtable. We'd love for you to call in and talk to him. We ask that you do that between 5:20 and 5:30. And when you call in, we take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process. So the call-in number is right in front of you. If you're on the LA Talk Radio website, right in front of you. But just in case, it's area code 323-203-0815. And again, we're going to get to our guest, Corey Blake, in a couple minutes. But we had so many emails about topics that I want to cover. First of all, I'm going to talk a little bit about pilot season. I've gotten a lot of emails. People say, I'm so confused. There's network pilots and there's cable pilots, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to talk about that in a couple minutes. I'm going to give you a little bit of information so you can be prepared for pilot season and know the difference. But I have some exciting news. I just got a casting notice from my very good friend, Stuart Stone. If you're an actor in the business, everybody knows Stuart Stone. He's a huge casting commercial director, and he just sent me a great casting notice I thought I would turn you guys on to. So these are for auditions in LA, in Los Angeles, unfortunately, but if you can fly to LA and you're interested, by all means do so. Now, this particular shoot is in Chile, so we're talking Chile. I think it's a country. I don't know if it's in a country, but it's Chile. Wherever Chile is, that's where it is. Okay, it's The payment is $4,000. It includes hotel, air, per diem, 4 to 5 days, 1 year buyout, year 2 to 4, same for each year. The shoot is November 17th through the 23rd, 4 to 5 days travel included. Again, this is like an awesome, job, project, yes. So here's what we need. We need the following. We need a tenor opera singer, male, Caucasian, 25 to 40. Caucasian Italian types, they must be able to sing opera. There's the soundtrack. The soundtrack is Giuseppe Verdi's Va Pensiero. It's from the Nabucco opera. And you can check that out on YouTube.com. Just type in Va Pensiero, V-A and then P-E-N-S-I-E-R-O from the Nabucco, N-A-B-U-C-C-O opera. And the lyrics are on the website artists, A-R-T-I-S-T-S dot letssingit.com/Verdi lyrics. Va Pensiero. Woo! I should be getting paid for all this. This is just breathtaking. Okay, so it's artist.letssingit.com, and that's where you can get a lot of the lyrics for casting projects. If they require opera positions, that's where you're going to get it. So they also need a female, 45 to 50, Caucasian, 45 to 50, warm and attractive, from model to everyday USA America types, must be slight, character should feel very real. People you pass on the street every day, not just Los Angeles types, but middle America, they should have the ability to move and express themselves without dialogue. They're natural and believable as everyday people from all walks of life, a broad range of looks. There are many roles and types, from white collar worker to blue collar factory worker. Not too charactery, easy on the eyes, from model, great bodies, attractive, to regular working class folks. So that's what the female is. They need a female, 30 to 35, female, Cajun, multi-ethnic, again, 30 to 35 years old, warm and attractive, same specs that I just gave you. Everyday people. Next one, female, 18 to 24, female, Caucasian, multi-ethnic, same character description. Then we need a male, 45 to 50, Caucasian, same specs as above. And the last one is a male, 18 to 24, male, African-American, Asian, or Caucasian. Again, same thing, everyday people, anywhere from blue collar working class folks up to models. So they need a wide range. Now, here's how you're going to submit. You have to be very, very, very specific. Stuart likes you to do it exactly like this. If you don't, that's it. So number one, you're going to add your headshot and resume to the body of the email. Stuart does not open links or attachments. So you got to, I don't know how you're going to figure out, usually Outlook, you can put the picture in, but put it within the body, not as an attachment. You're going to place the job name, which I gave you earlier, and the role in the subject line. So the job name and the role goes in the subject line. Do not send more than one email, just one. He doesn't like to be overloaded. If there are video links, they should be uploaded to YouTube. So if you have your demo reel, they should be on YouTube already, and include that link or another fast viewing site. They do not have time to open reels and wait for them to upload. They won't even bother. So do not submit if you don't fit the roles. And that's very important. And then here's the email address. So get your pen and paper ready. Okay, I'll do it twice. Email it to sendmeto@gmail.com. Again, send, sendmeto@gmail.com. Okay, sendmeto@gmail.com. And that is stuartstone@stuartstonecasting. Again, let me give you that subject line. You're going to put, VA space Pensiero and then / Nabucco opera, Nabucco opera, and then the character that you want to apply for. So that is that. So hopefully you guys will get casting. It sounds like it pays well. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to Chile? My God, I'd want to go to Chile. So there you go. Now we're on to pilot season. Now I got so many emails. There's just like so many people who are confused about pilot season. If you're an actor, we're talking about pilot season. If you don't know what pilot season is, then you're not an actor, and we'll cover your topic later, hopefully. But there's a ton of information about pilot season out there, and I think it's good to read everything you can to prepare, because you can never be too prepared for anything. Am I right? Okay, so here's some information that you can add to this confusing information that you get about pilot season, because it is just so, everybody asks everybody, nobody knows, you get the wrong information. I'm going to give you the right information, or at least I think it's 100% accurate. I try to be 100% accurate. So you can email me if I get it wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is the skinny. This is it. Okay, so let's start with prime time pilot season. Now, as a bit of history, prime time pilot season, that is when the broadcast networks, they cast sample shows or pilots. Sample shows, pilots. And that's to determine the shows that they're going to pick up for the fall season. And they also do it for the mid-season replacement shows. So they usually cast from 100 to 120 pilots during pilot season. So there is a huge opportunity there. So since the networks announce their seasons in mid-May, pilot season runs for a few months prior to that. Okay, so you got to be prepared. So the true pilot season runs from mid-January to the end of April. So mid-January to the end of April for primetime network pilots, okay? So tons of opportunity during this time. So be prepared. That's when we do primetime. Now, cable pilot season. Cable pilot networks announce their seasons in February. February is when they, you know, they roll it out. So their pilots are currently, right now, they're being cast. So you want to go looking for cable pilots that are being cast right now. So there are a few pilots for cable networks being cast that I know of right now, like ABC Family, Disney Channel, TBS, TNT, Lifetime, USA Network, Comedy Channel, etc. So you know what the cable channels are. So they're being cast right now in Hollywood. So we are in cable pilot season right now, so get your butt out there and look for the jobs and go out on auditions, because right now it's happening. So that's why so many actor sites have been auditioning for these cable shows, because they're going to be announced in February, but again, they're being cast now, so that's why you're seeing it. And these shows start casting usually in August, so we're a little behind, but just keep that note that they start casting in August and they finish in January. Or so, and the cable networks, they may shoot pilots all year round if they have what's called a guaranteed pickup. And with a guaranteed pickup, they shoot the pilot and the first several episodes of the show to completion. So there you go. So if you didn't know, now you do. Now, some people say, why is prime time pilot season so important? So why is it? Well, prime time pilot season is mid-January to the end of April. So the answer is the opportunity to make money and you build a huge career. So that's all it is, pure and simple. There you go. So agents, they want to make money. You know, if you have an agent, you're not making no money, you're off the list. But agents want to make money, and so they want you here during pilot season so they can join you in hitting this big pilot lottery that goes on. So you might want to, you know, if you're going to vacation, just don't do it during pilot season. Agents can drop you like that. It's very common. So let's look at the opportunities. First-time pilots. Now, this is money. We're talking money here. So first-time pilot deals, they run from $8,000 to $25,000 for the first pilot and $8,000 to $20,000 per episode. Okay, so at the low end, if an actor books just the pilot at the low fee of $8,000, then the agent gets 10% or $800. And you know, everybody knows agent gets 10%. So if the pilot is not picked up, well, forget about it. That's it. You don't have to worry about that. But that's a little bit about the money. But if the actor books the pilot and it's picked up for 22 episodes, then the actor makes $176,000, I guess. I hope I'm right on that. And the agent will make about 17.6, yeah. So if an actor books the higher rate and if it gets picked up for the full 22 episodes, then the total pay for the season could be as much as $445,000. So the agent makes $44,500. So the agent's very happy. You're very happy. And that's what happens. So we're talking, you know, we're talking the upper echelon of actors here. We're not talking beginning actors, obviously. So, and then there are residual fees that are tacked onto that. So both the actor and the agent make more, and I'm not going to get into that, but I just want you to see that money drives pilot season. Pilot season is huge. And also, as fame grows and fan base grows, an actor makes far more money on future bookings. So always smile and be nice to everyone. Everyone, everyone. If you're just starting out as a beginning actor, you never know if that person's going to be your fan in the beginning. Plus, there's advertising dollars. Don't even get me started on advertising dollars. We're going to end it with advertising dollars. Okay, so because there's so many advertisers, they free up new funds beginning in January. That means that there are so many commercials shot in February, March, April, and May. And since many ad agencies are up north, we're going to call it up north, we know where they are, they like to come to Los Angeles for the warm weather, and then they shoot the commercials. So there's a lot of opportunities there. So if an actor books a national commercial, that's what you want to book, people, nationals, the payout over time average is about $20,000 or so, and so the agent makes about $2,000. So all for a few seconds of camera time. Now you know why everybody wants to be an actor. Look at that money. My God. So commercials are hot during pilot season two. Don't forget about your commercials. Commercials, commercials, commercials. Plus feature films. So a lot of feature films are casting during that time. Many TV actors like to shoot features during their hiatus time. So huge numbers of feature films are casting during the pilot season to begin shooting as soon as the TV stars are available. Episodic season trickles down from January through May. So many of these actors become available to shoot features. They're going to steal all your parts, so be prepared. I mean, we got A-list actors doing commercials these days, so it is really getting competitive, as you know. And many of them are able to green light feature films, you know, if they're A-list, that's it. So there are a ton of features shot during April, May, June, and July. And then they cast from the beginning of February. So if an actor books a basic no-name, like a basic no-name actor rate for a feature film, they still can make $70,000 or more, so the agent can still make $7,000 plus. So I'm not going to cover the other many opportunities in Hollywood during pilot season, but this kind of gives you a basic outlook on why it's so busy during this time. So some actors like to sit around and wait for the phone to ring, but you can't be doing that. Get your butt out. Keep your headshots up to date. Keep your resumes up to date. Pound the pavement. You know, you have to make the phone ring because waiting never helps anybody, as we know. And that is my pilot season. Those are my pilot season tips. So hopefully they were very, very helpful to you. And I am just so excited about introducing our next guest. He's been so patiently waiting. I had told him it was going to take about 10 minutes. It's now 15. So I am just going to have to send him some cash or a big fruit bowl. Corey Blake, who is just has a wonderful laugh and an excellent voice. I think he's got a radio announcer voice. But Corey Blake, now, here is his little quote. You might be a musician, an author, actor, painter, filmmaker, dancer, fashion designer, or you might express your artistic side in other ways. Ultimately, you are a talent, and talent needs to be supported with strategic thinking to have impact or have an impact. You have the power to change the world. Love that. Saw that. I said, oh my God, this guy is awesome. I have to have him on the show. So Corey Blake, he's the CEO and founder of Roundtable Companies, and also writers of the Roundtable. We're going to talk about Roundtable Companies. First, this company helps artists communicate with precision. Now, are you Are you ready and listening, audience? Because I am going to read a list, and I mean, we're talking list of things that Corey Blake's company can help you to get your career started or advance it to another level. And I just couldn't believe this list when I read it. And some of the things I'm like, what is that? I mean, most of it I know what it is, but even some things that are on this list, I don't know what they are. But I know they're important, so we'll just say them anyway. And then we'll ask Corey what they are. And I said to myself, I have to make my audience aware of this one-stop shopping extravaganza. And I mean, it really is. This company can literally provide you with everything you need for your professional appearance in the business world of entertainment or the corporate arena. And I like how he takes both of them and he meshes them together to help the business and the entertainment world. Okay, so here we go. In under the category of writing, and this would apply to anything that's related to writing, if you're a writer or anything writing related. Okay, so ready, and advertising copy, article writing, biographies, book proposals, brochure copy, business plans, business reports, business writing, case studies, catalogs, celebrity interviews, character Bibles, character development, classroom curricula, comic book writing, commercials, direct mail writing, ebook writing, e-newsletters, eulogies, oh Jesus God, no, not eulogies, fiction writing, journalism, log lines, memoir writing, newsletters, plot summaries, profiles, resume writing, screenplay writing, speeches, storytelling, synopsis, toast, video scripts, vows, white papers. I do not know what white papers are, but I have heard of them before. Writing consultation. Woo! Wow! So if you're a writer and you need help in any of those areas, well, there you go. We got that covered. Now we're going to cover the section that he helps you out with in design. Advertising design, album covers, banner design, book cover design, book interior formatting, book jackets, brand creation, catalogs, character design, comic book design, corporate identity, direct mail design, ebook design, e-newsletters, graphic design, illustrations, invitations, newsletters, packaging, signage, trade show graphics, and website, microsite, landing page design. Whoa, my God. Whoa, I'm already dizzy. I need to take another breath. All right, here we go. Under strategic thinking. Whoa, this is my favorite category. Brand positioning. Classroom curricula, core values consultation. Ooh, who doesn't need that? Customer satisfaction surveys, data analysis, data collection, employee training, endorsement kits, focus groups, green thinking, market plan development, marketing therapy and coaching. Oh, I love that. Naming, nonprofit marketing, nonprofit organization setup, package design and production, presentations, speaking kits. I wonder what that consists of, a speaking kit. I just speak. Oh, I guess I have a whole kit and I don't even know it. Speaking management, strategic partnering, strategic planning, taglines, trade show support and production. Woo, man. All right, here we go. Book publishing, book cover design, book interior formatting. Oh, I guess this is for the writer. Book printing, book proposals, book translation, character Bibles, character development, digital book formatting, log lines, plot summaries, publishing consultation, query letters. Oh, my God. Oh, so many writers say, I hate doing the query letters. I hate doing them. I'm stuck. I have writer's block. I'm like, if you have writer's block on a query letter, oh, I feel for you. I don't know how far you're going to go with that. But, hey, Corey can help you out with the query letters. And synopsis. Now, online marketing. article marketing, blogging, SEO, social networking. Under public relations, media adversaries. Oh, wait a minute. Advisories. Oh, God, I can't read anymore. Corey Blake's words have just jammed me up. Okay, media advisories, media follow-up, media relations, media training, coaching, press kits, press releases, public relations campaigns. Under printing, banners, books, brochures, business cards, calendars, catalogs, invitations, letterhead, packaging, pop-up displays, postcards, posters, signage, trade show graphics. Under marketing, article marketing, direct marketing, e-newsletter writing and design, guerrilla marketing. Woo! I love guerrilla film shoots. I can't even imagine what this guerrilla marketing is. Marketing plan development, marketing therapy and coaching, newsletter writing, design and production, nonprofit marketing. Oh, I need that nonprofit marketing. I'm going to be starting up a nonprofit organization called Santa Claus Wishes. Oh, I'll be talking about that in December. Okay, video film production. We're almost done. Video film production, budgeting, commercials, corporate and promotional videos, documentaries, green screen, independent films, screenplay writing, video editing, videography. And lastly, what no business can be without, administrative support. Account management, creative services, data analysis, data collection, mailing list research, research, scheduling, and transcription. Woo! Woo! Oh, Lord! I got through that list, but can you imagine, people, this guy's company can help you with every single thing on this list. It's like, as I said earlier, it's like a one-stop shopping thing. I don't know how Corey does it. I'm going to have to ask him. Now, a little bit about Corey. Corey Blake's writing and visionary work has been published in Writer and Script magazines. He's been featured on Fox and Fox News, NBC 5, Sacramento, and CO. I don't know what that means. Colorado, WGN, two times, Chicago Public Radio, and in print such as Young Money, Hoy, La Raza, Hispanic Executive Quarterly, Movie Maker Magazine, Dance Spirit Magazine, Backstage West three times, and Hollywood Scriptwriter Magazine. Now, prior to writing, this is why I guess he has all this experience. Corey used to work in Hollywood as a commercial and voiceover actor. So he used to star in campaigns for McDonald's, Mountain Dew, Pepsi, Wrigley's, Hasbro, Miller, Mitsubishi. And he says the infamous Yard Fitness, where Corey plays basketball naked. I don't even know how they showed that as a commercial. I want to see a copy of that. When did that come out? That must have been the 70s or the 80s. Okay, so Corey also appeared in shows as The Shield. Oh, my God, that's one of my favorite shows. Fast Lane, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, another favorite. Diagnosis Murder, Joan of Arcadia. Oh, I love that show. And Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Oh, I was just watching that last night. Before he produced The Boy Scout and Redirect, and directed and produced Gretchen Brettschneider, Skirts 30, and Unsuitable, all for Elevation 9000 Films. So you see where he's able to offer all the services because he's got all this background experience. Now, he's also the co-author of Edge, and Edge is a leadership story. It was a finalist in the National Best Books 2008 Awards with B. Fields and E. Silva, Travers. Excalibur Reclaims Her King with Angelica Harris. From the Barrio to the Boardroom with Robert Renteria. And The Family Business with Dr. K. Voigt and Jared Rosenblatt. Corey is also the executive director of From the Barrier Foundation. He and co-author Robert Renteria are collaborating with the Chicago Public School District right now on a curriculum that's going to be rolled out nationwide. He's also an avid speaker, and as an avid speaker, Corey has appeared at the Society of the Southwestern Authors, the 2008 Wrangling with Writing Conference, the 93rd and annual Missouri Writers Guild Conference, the Virginia Reading Association with Angelica Harris, Screenwriting Episode Expo, Los Angeles Convention Center, CineSpace, Hollywood, of course, Avalon, Hollywood, the Ivar, oh, I love that theater, the Ivar, Hollywood, the Make-A-Wish Foundation of Greater Los Angeles, Spring Into Romance Writing Festival, San Diego, and finally, Jack London Writers Conference and the Midwest Literary Festival, Chicago. Wow, I don't even think I could know Corey Blake because he has too many things. I'm out of breath. I think I'm going to end the show now. He's not even coming on. I'm not even letting him talk. Corey, are you there? Are you asleep?
Hi, Priscilla. How are you?
Oh, my God. I'm out of breath. I'm sweating. I need to turn the fan on. It's just so much. How do you do it? Isn't your brain on overload?
Well, I'm an entrepreneur, so, you know, I like to spin a lot of plates. It's exciting for me. I'm 35 years old, so I'm in the middle of my career life, and the artistic background was a great setting for becoming successful entrepreneur. You know, most people probably wouldn't recognize that, but as an actor in Los Angeles, you are an entrepreneur. You have to build your own business, and if you're going to be successful at it, you have to treat it like a business. And eventually, when I didn't any longer find joy in acting and moved into producing and directing and realized that storytelling was what I found the most joy in, I ended up, you know, building a company very much around helping people tell their stories.
Now, why did you say when you didn't enjoy acting anymore, how long did you do it and why did you not enjoy it anymore? What happened or what's the reason?
I was acting for about a decade. I became kind of a little national commercial superstar, you know, really becoming popular in that arena. And my experience of Los Angeles was that commercials, television, and feature films were essentially all different businesses. You had to meet entirely different people, and they didn't interact. So what ended up happening was I became very popular in commercials and was going out, you know, on a lot of auditions and booking jobs. But it wasn't what I went to Los Angeles to do. There's not an emotional journey in being involved in a commercial. You show up on set, you get your trailer, you do a rehearsal. You sit in your trailer for another 3 hours while they light it. You go out, you act for 20 minutes, you go home, and you make a bunch of money. Financially, that sounds really cool, but what ended up happening was here I was making a great living while all my other friends had day jobs, and everyone was congratulating me and so excited for me, and yet on the inside I was like, wow, this really isn't what I came here to do. So I felt confused, I felt lonely, and I became a little bit self-destructive for a while, and then I started getting into directing and producing where I could really be part of the emotional journey of creation. And that was what I went to LA to do. So I started becoming resentful that I was going out on auditions because they would take me away from development or directing or producing work. And eventually I phased myself out of that and really became a storyteller full time.
Oh, my God. That is the most succinct explanation I've ever had. And you're just so honest about it, too. I mean, I really appreciate that. And a lot of people, I like how you pointed out commercials. If you decide to do commercials, you can think of it as part-time work and not necessarily say, oh, I'm an actor, because you have to be an actor, you know. Per se, you have to be an actor, but a lot of people can look at it as a part-time side job because it's not the emotional, you don't need the emotional levels that you need, say, to do film and television and theater. So it's a perfect venue for someone who just wants to make a lot of money and just wants to do something else, you know. Am I right?
It can be. I mean, it's, you know, it's a bit up and down. I participated in commercials that supposedly had, you know, multi-million dollar budgets behind them that never even aired because what you have to understand is these big companies, if it's not perfect, they'll just go shoot another one. So you work really hard as an actor to book some of these jobs, and, you know, these companies, they changed. Now, this, again, I've been out of the industry for about 6 years now, so I might be outdated because things do change so quickly, but after the last strike that the SAG union went through, we essentially, it felt like we lost a lot of power in the commercial world, and suddenly, you know, these big advertising companies and big corporations, they found commercials to be very expendable. Before, if you booked that national commercial, you know, when I first came there, I heard stories of people making $70,000, $80,000 per commercial. So, you know, I booked over a dozen national spots, and I also did, you know, some voiceover work for some major corporations, and the average was far less than $70,000 or $80,000 per. But it's a tricky, you know, it's alluring because everyone is all over you that you're doing what you went out there to do, and you're on television, and it sounds so cool. And you can, you know, you got to be very careful because you can certainly get trapped, and I fell into that.
Wow, that's true. And I know that you had said that you felt lonely. A lot of people who move out here who are not, of course, from LA or immediate surrounding areas, they come out here and they do feel very lonely because it's a very segmented place. A lot of people don't understand that. Like, I'm from the East Coast. It's a very tight-knit place. I mean, you make friends, you have the same friends for the rest of your life. Out here, people come and go. They come out here for one reason, and they are gung-ho on their career, and it's not too much of, you know, if they say, let's do lunch or let's get together, those are just words, and you really, really, really can't always count on it 100%. So the loneliness will be overwhelming. How would you recommend that if someone comes out here to pursue a career that they stave off the loneliness that you feel?
That's a little bit tough to answer because I did have a strong group of friends that I had. My loneliness actually wasn't from not having people around me. It was from not feeling understood. And you know, the Los Angeles, you know, it plays a number on your psyche to be in such a competitive environment where literally 1,000 people are competing for every job. So it's a tough question on how to avoid the loneliness. I think the best thing to say is really do everything that you can to keep your feet firmly planted on the ground, mm-hmm. which is, you know, harder said than done.
Right.
The greatest example I can give of my perspective shift was after I left Los Angeles and I was gone for about 6 months. I came back and went to a big party where there were a bunch of producers and screenplay people, and we're at this big bash in a bar, and everybody around me is talking about their latest project and their script and this and that, and I'm sitting here watching this brilliant 12-piece mariachi band, and I swear I was the only person who even knew it was there. And that was when I said, wow, this is what I used to be. Nothing else in life mattered except the industry. And I think leaving and being now, you know, I'm actually only about 4 years out of Los Angeles permanently, has been a great perspective shift on living a full life instead of being so absorbed. So if you can find a way to look at it as a 20-year journey of building an acting career and try to keep your feet on the ground so that you love the process and love your life while you're getting where you want to go, then you can, it's the difference between what I used to call, you know, people who flicker and fade. Essentially, they burn brightly and then they're toasted and done, versus people who really build a long-lasting relationship with their potential audience, a long-lasting career where they can stay sane and navigate through all of the insanity of Hollywood and still come out, you know, somebody who is whole and lives a joyous life.
Yeah, that is the advice for the actor. Now, now when you decided you were going to get into directing and producing and you felt much more of a creative flow, are you still doing that? Are you still directing and producing films?
I do it in a different way. No, I don't work in the film world anymore, although I do have a potential documentary coming up which might pull me back into Hollywood. But right now, I direct and produce books, and it's a different – what I did was I took my collaborative style of filmmaking that I used in L.A. I was a very collaborative director. I would surround myself with amazingly talented people and nurture them, and they would take care of my film. And I felt like that was a very unique way of approaching making a movie, and it felt very successful, even though on each of these projects I learned major lessons through some big mistakes. But overall, I felt like that approach of taking care of people was really important, and so I brought that over to the world of writing. Most people think that books are created by one person and they hold themselves up in a cabin for 6 months and write their book. And what I did was I took people who were not writers but who had a story to tell, and I would build a team around them and essentially produce and direct, bring out their vision. And that became a very exciting process. And from there, we helped people to publish, and then we helped people to start building businesses around those books. So it wasn't just about putting out a book and getting into a bookstore and moving on to the next thing. It was really redirecting their entire life around the heart, the message of that book, and building a revenue-generating model around it so that they could live and make money and be very profitable off of their writing. So I'm getting pulled back into Hollywood, potentially through some successful book work, but I'm certainly, this was really the right choice for me in terms of storytelling versus just, for me, I thought being an actor was what I wanted, but what I found was I wanted to tell stories and be part of the process of how they're told.
Well, and I think that you segued into a position that you obviously are very, very happy with, because you are also starting your success with being the co-author of many books. Now, a question for you. How do you decide on these particular books? What's your decision? How do you say, I want to put my name of Corey Blake on this project?
Well, I'm a person who believes that, over 6 billion people on the planet, everybody has a story to tell. The question is, who has the courage to tell it, and who's really going to make the commitment to going on the emotional roller coaster that a creative journey requires to be authentic, to really find your voice and bring it to the page in a way that will emotionally involve a reader or an audience. And so the people who have come to us, first of all, they have to have the financial capability to tell a story, because we don't fund the projects. It takes a year to a year and a half to write a quality book, and there are 4, 5, 6 people involved in that process. So somebody has to, traditionally the people who have come to us, they've been successful in another area of their life, and now they want to have something more meaningful. So they're taking life experience and putting it into something that will help them have more personal value for the rest of their life in terms of what their business is going to be. So
now,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. So when you co-author many of the books with people who are writers already, but I want to come back to what you were just saying, but what I was completely blown away and fascinated by was there was a guest that I had on, and you have to forgive me, I cannot remember her name, but she was one of the people who came to your company, Writers of the Round Table. She was an Asian lady, and she wrote a book. Oh my God, it was fantastic. It was about her struggles with incest.
Yeah. It's actually good that you don't remember her name, because that was somebody who hired us as a ghostwriter.
Yes. You know what? That's why I'm bringing it up, because that's what I'm trying to make a point, how your company also provides ghostwriting services. Am I correct?
We do to a point. I really discourage it now, because I think what I've found is that my authors who are being transparent in the fact that they were not writers, but they had something important to say and went out of their way to find talented people and partner with them, mm-hmm. they're much happier people. And this is totally, just my opinion, but I'm finding that people who have engaged us and who want to create something as a team and not pretend that they didn't do, that they didn't need us, are just, they're just having a more positive experience in terms of the publishing experience. Now that's, again, it's just my opinion, but
right.
So I really discourage people from trying to hire us to pen something, because ultimately, my job is to pull out somebody's voice.
Right.
And write the book and help them write the book in a way that is very much in line with how they speak.
Right.
And so there's always, Bee Fields is a great example of this book Edge that we created, a leadership story. She's a leadership coach, an executive coach, works with very high level CEOs of companies and helps them to be better. And she wanted to use stories. She wanted to take a different approach. She didn't want to just write some informational book on how to be a great leader. So what she did is she hired us and brought us together, and we created a story-based journey of a leader who was failing, who comes in contact with an executive coach based on her, goes through a whirlwind ride of how he, he totally rejects everything that she says, eventually starts to buy in, but doesn't, but doesn't really invest himself, and finally realizes at one point that he's the one who's going to have to change if his company's going to succeed. So we take readers on an intimate journey of what it's like to work with this woman.
Right.
So, you know, so there's, you know, so many people in this day and age are informing their audience, and we're informing them, but we're doing it in the unique way of entertaining them, and while they're not looking, you know, throwing business principles into their mouths, essentially. And I just love that approach, and I think the fact that she wanted to be transparent, it taught me the value of that kind of integrity, just for her to come forward and say, I'm not a writer, I'm not a storyteller, but I am an expert at working with leaders, and by partnering with people who are experts in telling story, we've created a remarkable manuscript.
Well, that's exactly my point, because what you did, even what you did for this woman that I read the book, I mean, I talked to this woman, and this is a person, God love her, she used to call, she was actively verbalizing that she would write her manual script, M-A-N-U-A, manual script, and that's what she would call it, and I was like, wait a minute, this is a person who wrote this book, and the book was awesome, it was fantastic. I get so many things to read, and I very rarely get through them, I try, but I started reading one page, I was completely hooked, and after talking to this woman, I'm like, there is no way on God's green earth that that woman with her verbalization skills, not to say, you know, because she was Asian, she couldn't pronounce it right. She really thought that's what the name of it was. I said, whoever wrote this book is incredible. Then I found out that it was a ghostwriter, and I said, well, there you go, because I would have bet $1 million there's no way that this woman wrote that. So whoever wrote that from your company, it was an incredible, incredible book, and they did such a great job. And I was a little sad that that person didn't get the credit for that book, because whoever wrote that, or they're just incredible writers. So
well,
I like the
I really appreciate that. I have to say, half of what you're saying, I really, you know, I'm like, oh, we succeeded, and half of what you're saying, I really failed in some regard then. If, you know, I agree with you. I think part of the journey of working with somebody who wants to tell a story like this is, it was her story.
Yes.
And I want to make that very clear. It was
yes.
her story, but the actualization of it required people who are in a different, you know, who understand story from the inside out versus the outside in. And eventually, you know, if we had, journeyed further with this author, I think it would have been a major part of my job to bring her up to speed on how to present herself so it was in line with the quality of the manuscript. And that's something we would have done. We did not carry
exactly.
on with that author. It was her choice to separate from our work together, unfortunately. But
Don't worry, Corey. I straighten her out. I'm like, you need to start saying manuscript instead of manual script. Don't embarrass Corey Blake and Writers of the Round Table. You got to act like you actually wrote it if you're going to write it. But that's what was great so much about your company, that you, whether you do the ghostwriting or not, what was great is that you took that on. And if, I don't know how many people you did that for, it was wonderful that you took a person who knew nothing, obviously, about how to write a book, and the jacket of that book, the graphic design was awesome. I mean, it was just, you would never have known that that person, one, didn't write it, two, that it wasn't published from McGraw-Hill or one of the top publishing companies. You guys do an awesome job, and I really
like,
how from talking with her, she really was very complimentary of the people that she worked with, and how easy the process was, how you take people who are not necessarily writers per se, but they have a story, and you take them from A to Z, and you make it painless, and you don't make them feel like they are inadequate in any way, that you make them feel like they are an integrated part of the process.
Let me tell you where that came from, because I think it's actually an interesting story that I'm in the process of writing my own book, and I hired people to help me with it, because one thing I'll say is, even as a writer or a storyteller, you lose all objectivity about your own life. But that being said, what I'm learning is a little bit about myself and how why I came to make these decisions. And what I discovered was that when I was acting in Los Angeles, I really truly believed that if you were talented enough, everything else would fall into place. And I knew I was talented. I was funny. I was charismatic. I was booking these jobs, and people loved my work. And there came a point where I had to wrestle with the idea that I really had to approach this even more like a business than I was. And I fought it tooth and nail, and I became incredibly depressed. I smoked way too much marijuana, I'll be honest. And that's when I said, you know, that's when I say I became very destructive. I meant it. Yeah. Like, for 2 years, even while I was directing and producing, the core of me was really dying on the inside because that paradigm I had created for myself, that if you're talented, other people will take care of all of the other things around you.
Right.
That shift was really painful for me. And eventually what I did, like what I became for other people, and I used it in the book writing world, was a person who will sit next to them during those painful times. Because I'll tell you, you might say that it sounded, and maybe this author described the process as painless, but there is so much. If you're not changing through the process of writing your book, you can't expect anybody to change through the process of reading it. And the same thing is true for a film. So there is pain. You have to deal with your own truth and come to terms with what is my authenticity. And if that's not questioned during the process and doesn't somewhat change during the process, you can't reach epiphanies within the material that really surprise your audience while they're experiencing it. So I feel like what I became to my clients was somebody who cannot make the roller coaster ride any less loopy or crazy, or make, you know, the parts where your stomach drop out. I can't stop those from happening, but I can sit with those people on the ride and say, this is normal. What you're going through is every author goes through. It's okay. You're going to come out on the other side. Whereas I felt like when I didn't have that myself, I quit. And
right.
I don't want people who have an important story to tell to give up when it gets hardest.
Absolutely. Corey, I swear to God, I am sick to my stomach that we have 1 minute with you, because you are such an incredible guest. I want to do 2 more hours with you. You are awesome, and you give such great information, and I am so, so, so sick that we're going to have to end this interview. But you know what? It's kind of good, because I know I'm going to get a ton of emails and people are going to say, please bring Corey back. Please bring Corey back. So can I please beg you to come back and share more of your font of knowledge, your wealth of knowledge with us?
I would love to. I love to inspire artists, especially when it comes to helping them build a legitimate, real career as opposed to just a hopeful dream.
And you know, you are, and your company, roundtablecompanies.com, roundtablecompanies.com has that whole entire list that I went through. He's also, he also has Writers of the Roundtable. He can help you in every aspect. You heard earlier the bullet pointed list that he can help you with. And you've heard him. He is a deep spiritual person, I can tell. And he's very sensitive, and he has the experience, he has the knowledge, and he can help anybody. So Corey, thank you so much for being a guest. I'm going to call you so you can come on in January or February. Oh, thank you, Corey, so much. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. We had a great time with Corey. I'm so sad to see him go. Join us next week. We're going to have Rob Williams. He's a filmmaker in Los Angeles. Incredible. God, I'm so sad. Corey, love this man. Can't wait to have him back. Thank you for joining us on Question Reality. Have a great day. See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Horror Channel is your home for the best in horror entertainment, news, culture, lifestyle, and best of all, frights. We are available on Verizon Fios Cable Television. Go to channel 900, free on demand, and select Pop Culture. Scroll down and you'll find The Horror Channel. So be sure to visit horrorchannel.com for all of our latest programming.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.